4CRB now presents The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group. With a large team of highly experienced professionals, you can feel safe knowing that Bell Legal can help you with your legal needs.
And a very good morning. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back for another program of The Law and You. And as always, it's your opportunity to get free legal advice here on 4CRB. All we need you to do is call our telephone number, and that number is 5520888. That's 5520888. A reminder that if you're south of the Tweed River, and Wayne was just mentioning about that now, you need to put 07 in front of the number if you wish to call in, but otherwise you'll get straight through on our number 5520888. We do have an email address, talkback@4crb.com, if you're not able to call, and we will answer any questions received by email in next week's program, although I have a confession to make that I did receive an email during the week from one of our listeners who was not able to get to the phone, and the matter was of such urgency that I emailed straight back. So I won't bother you with the issue that was raised in that particular matter this morning. But it's your program. Your calls are what make it happen. So the lines are all open, and we have no callers online. That number 5520888. And while we're waiting for some calls to come through, there were a couple of things that I thought were well worth mentioning in light of things going on about us, particularly here in Queensland and now in New South Wales with this unbelievable rain event that we've had. And that is in relation to insurance policies. Now, you would have heard on the news that there have been many, many instances where people have either had no insurance at all, or alternatively, they are not covered for flood. And insurance can be a very tricky thing, and whether you're covered for flood or not depends very much on the wording of the policy that you hold. And often we find that people discover far too late that their insurance, which they thought was covering them for a flood, what we would commonly think is flood damage, does not actually cover them for flood damage. And so my recommendation to you is, one, if you're taking out insurance going forward, make sure that you don't go for the cheapest premium. Make sure that you look very carefully at all of the definitions in the policy to make sure that the events that you believe you're going to be covered for will in fact be covered for. But we have our first caller online, as we say, a very good morning to Peter. G'day, Peter. How are you today?
Good morning, John. How are you, mate?
Yeah, well, thank you. How can I help you today?
John, I've done a will, mm-hmm. And leaving everything to my daughter.
Yes.
Now, when I pass on, the unit, she'll get the unit. Does she have to pay anything there, John? Like in death duties or sign over to her into her name?
No. The short answer to your question is no, Peter. So this is your principal place of residence, is it?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. So so there'll need to be what's called a transmission by death done when you pass away. So under the terms of your will, there's presumably a clause in it that either says I leave my apartment to my daughter, or alternatively a clause that says I leave the whole of my estate to my daughter, whatever. And yes, a transmission application will need to be lodged. Is this Queensland or New South Wales?
In Queensland.
Queensland. Okay, so the good news in Queensland is that you won't even have to apply for probate of the will. So the original of the will, together with the transmission application, are lodged with the titles office in Queensland, and as a result of that, the property will be transmitted into your daughter's name. Now, Because it's your principal place of residence, if your daughter intends to sell the property after she inherits the property, she
yes.
needs to bear in mind that she needs to sell and settle, and the second part is very important, sell and settle the sale of the property within 2 years of the date of your death. And if she does that, there will be no capital gains tax payable in relation to the sale. If it's sold after that two-year period, then any increase in value between the date of your death and the date of sale will be taxable as a capital gain. So that may not be a large sum of money. For example, let's say hypothetically at the date of your passing, your property is worth $500,000. And then, say 3 years down the track, your daughter decides to sell and the property is now worth $600,000. So there's been an increase of $100,000 in value between date of death and date of sale. So that $100,000 is effectively the capital gain. If she sells as an individual, which she would because you've transmitted the property to her, there's a 50% concession against the capital gain, so that reduces the gain to $50,000. And then that gain of $50,000 gets added to her taxable income for the year in which the sale occurs.
Okay, I've got that. Now, if she was to pass that on to her son,
yes,
and he didn't sell, and he kept it for 20 odd years,
mm-hmm.
and then he sold it. What? How would that? I mean, not that I'd be around that long, but how would that? How would that be?
Well, it depends whether your daughter moves into the property when she inherits it, because if she moved in, it then becomes her principal place of residence. And then if she in turn leaves it to her son and he lives in it as his principal place of residence, even if that sale takes place in 20 years' time, as long as the law doesn't change, there'll be no capital gains tax. However, if your daughter doesn't move into the property but rather keeps it as an investment property and then leaves it to your son, again, there'd be no tax payable on the inheritance. There'd just be the same transmission occur again to him. But he then sells the property, say, 5 years later. So we've got a total of, say, 10 years from when you've passed away. Then that total of 10 years of capital gain from the value as at the date of your death to the date of sale will be brought to account.
Okay.
All right, then.
Okay, lovely. Okay, thanks very much for that, John.
Okay, Peter, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB is 15 minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed, as we say good morning to Barry. G'day, Barry. How are you today?
Not bad, John. How are you?
Going well, thanks. How can I help you?
No, Barry from here at Southport. I know. John, I had an altercation with the taxi last week with an appointment to take me to the vet.
Mm-hmm.
Blew up. When I rang up about 20 minutes after the appointment was made for to come and get me, they said, oh, we've been sent to another job. I would like to take it further with the Novosburg Minister. Who would I go to?
Have you spoken to the management at the taxi company?
I've tried to. They just put me off.
Okay, so they're just fobbing you off. All right, look.
Yeah.
Barry, the only thing I could probably suggest you do initially would be to ring the Office of Fair Trading. Did this happen in Queensland or New South Wales?
No, here at Southport.
Okay. So what I would suggest you do is ring the Office of Fair Trading, Consumer Affairs. Have you got a pen handy and I can give you their number?
Yeah.
Okay, so their number is 137468.
Okay,
so there is a licensing authority for taxis. I must confess I don't know a huge amount about it or what powers they have, but I certainly think that if you ran Consumer Affairs, they would certainly be able to point you in the right direction towards getting some redress in relation to it. But, Barry, it's a very bad advertisement for taxis, isn't it?
Oh, both of them were involved, you know, the main ones we're talking about.
Mm.
But the trouble is, I've got a service dog left for me by my brother, and has had to have major surgery. It was booked in for 10 o'clock last Tuesday, And 3/4 of an hour later, I'm still waiting after speaking to both of them.
Mm.
You know, and they just, as though they had something in for me, you know.
But, yes. No, well, that's the best idea, I would suggest to you, Barry. So I would suggest giving Consumer Affairs a call. All right, then.
Thank you very much.
Okay then, Barry, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB just continues to roll along. It's just past 18 minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed. The Law and You is the program, 55208888. We presently have no callers online, so if you have a question or a query, get on that telephone right now, 55208888. Now, undoubtedly, there are going to be a lot of people out in our listening audience who have had problems with flood damage during this current incident. And many of you may be discovering that your insurance, which you thought covered you for flood, in fact does not cover you. Now, apart from the Australian Financial Complaints Authority, which covers insurance, I would suggest at the first instance, if you have any concerns about the interpretation in your policy as to whether you're covered for flood damage or not, that you could go and see the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau, which is located in Southport. That's a free community legal service and they do fantastic work. And there's also My Community Legal, which was previously called the Robina Community Legal Centre, and that's open from 6:30 to 8:30 every Thursday evening at the Gold Coast City Council's Robina Community Centre. Now, you don't need to make appointments to go to the Robina Community Centre or Community Legal Centre. It's a first-in, best-dressed thing, but I would suggest to you that if you were wanting to go there to have someone look at your insurance policy, that you get there early, so get there right on their opening time of 6:30. We'll now say hello to Carol. G'day, Carol. How are you today?
Oh, very well, John. Very
That's good.
Well.
How can we help?
John, just a question. My brother is executive of the will.
Yes.
And my mother has passed on. Now, can he mortgage, the house is empty.
Right.
Can he mortgage the house of a dead person?
Only if the terms of the will, the trustee powers within the will permit that to be done, but it has to be done for a purpose that is beneficial to the estate and the beneficiary. So if he's simply mortgaging it for his own purposes, then that's a clear breach of his duties as executor, you would be a very, very foolish executor to simply mortgage a property for no reason that is not beneficial to the estate. So the reason for mortgaging must be of a benefit to the estate, and that would need to be clearly articulated, I would suggest, to all of the beneficiaries of the estate before it's even done. So the short answer to the question is no, but with major qualifications.
Could his partner buy the estate?
It's a conflict of interest, I would suggest. And so, therefore, if they were going to sell it to the partner, I would be suggesting that he would at the very least need to get a valuation. And in fact, the best way to do that to ensure that there was absolute transparency would be to put the property up for public auction so that anyone wishing to buy is able to do so. And if his partner ends up being the highest and best bidder, all well and good. But again, I think the way to approach this is through full and complete communication, Carol. So if your brother was wanting to sell the property to his partner or his partner was wanting to purchase it, my recommendation would be that you would need the agreement of all beneficiaries under the will saying, look, this is what we're intent. This is my partner would like to buy the property. I'm letting you know. I've had a valuation done. This is the valuation of the property. Can you please let me know if you have any objection? to her purchasing the property at that value, so that there's full and complete communication, because the executor has a fiduciary duty to all of the beneficiaries under the will, and that is to act in the best interests of the estate and the beneficiaries.
I think that's just in the best state of his, of him.
Really. Yes, well, if that's the case, and if you, and if this is actually, if you suspect this is proceeding, then I would be recommending that you, and if you have siblings who are other beneficiaries, that you quickly get legal advice and have a solicitor write to your brother as executor to make very clear to him what his obligations are.
Well, my sister has wrote and gave him 28 days to put the property on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be in about 2 more weeks' time.
Mm.
That's what I wanted to know, if he himself could mortgage that, and that's what he has said, that he's going to mortgage the property.
Well, he'd have to explain why it's necessary to mortgage the property.
Okay.
I mean, if, for example, there's no money in the estate and he says he needs to mortgage it to pay the fees to sell it, there are plenty of real estate agents around who will carry those expenses until the settlement takes place. The second thing is that he will need to ensure that the agent gives full coverage to the availability of the property for auction, so that there can be absolutely no doubt that the highest and best price reasonably obtainable for the property has been achieved.
Okay. Hmm. Thank you very much, John.
Okay. All the very best. And the time on 4CRB continues to roll along. It's just coming up to 25 minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed. We've probably got time for one or two more calls, so if you have a question or a query, get on that telephone right now, 55208888. Our lines are presently open, so you'll get straight through. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Bell Legal Group is the Gold Coast's longest established law firm. Their highly experienced team of professionals can provide assistance in wills and estate planning, property law and conveyancing, family law, business and commercial law, and much, much more. Contact our sponsor, Bell Legal Group, on 55973366. That number again, 55973366. Or learn more about what they can offer you at belllegal.com.au.
And with all the massive amount of rain that has fallen over recent days, it reminded me of a number of calls that we've received in the past when we've had rain events, certainly nowhere near as severe as these, about the flow of water. And you may remember that I have said in the past that where the flow of water is the natural watercourse, so in other words, if you live on the side of a hill and the water from an upper property flows down onto your property, then that is probably the natural flow of water, and there's not a great deal that you can do in relation to that. And particularly, you would not, for example, be able to dam your boundary so that the water flows back onto the land above. And it takes me right back to the very first subject that I ever studied as an article clerk, legal principles and practice. And one of the very first cases we ever did was one called Rylands versus Fletcher, 1868, decided by the House of Lords, in relation to liability of owners for causing detriment to their neighbours. And in that particular case, there'd been a reservoir built on a property, and when they dug the reservoir out, the contractors failed to realise that there were old mine shafts below that property, and when the reservoir was filled, all the water went into the adjoining coal mine, flooded it out, and of course meant that the coal mine could no longer be used. So there was a major claim, and that resulted in a decision that where you do something upon your land, which has the result, if it escapes, of causing detriment to an adjoining owner, then you have a liability in relation to that. 55208888. We probably have time for one more caller if you get on that telephone right now. But if that's not possible, the other thing I just wanted to briefly address was the shocking situation that is unfolding under our eyes in Ukraine at the moment. And it caused me to go and have a look at the definition of war crimes under Article 8 of the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. And it is quite clear under those, under the Geneva Conventions of 1949 that what is going on in Ukraine at the moment includes war crimes being committed against the civilian population and civilian buildings. I think it's just tragic what we're seeing happen, and it just reminds me so much of the in the lead up to this, the policy of appeasement that preceded the Second World War, when Hitler was just appeased time and time again by the West in not wanting to create conflict. And there are so many similarities, but it's so pleasing to see that the West has now taken a stand, and most importantly that I think they've taken a stand in a way that will hopefully avoid a major war breaking out on the European continent, but is really going to bring massive pressure to bear upon Russia, hitting them in all the areas that of concern economically, completely blocking them in terms of sport. And really, I see, Putin's legacy in history probably placing him alongside Kim Jong-un of North Korea. He will go down in infamy. So enough of that. 9:30 is the time. We've got the local news coming up. Just a reminder that for those of you who observe the season of Lent in the Christian calendar, Ash Wednesday tomorrow. So blessings for Ash Wednesday. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning. I look forward to being back with you next week for another program of The Law and You. But as always, until then, it's goodbye. And God bless.
You've been listening to The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group, the Gold Coast's longest established law firm, helping Gold Coasters since 1955. Call them today on 55 97 33 66.